Do you have a Google Home device? Yes? Well, make sure you say, okay, Google, play 790 The Ticket. You'll hear us loudly and clearly. Hey, Google, turn it up. If you're proud to be Latino right now, stand up. Credible cops, credible cops, let's go. SBK. Hola. Hola, we coming up, Nina Sky. Nori. Nori. Gemstar.
Yeah, we'll start off the 9 o'clock hour with an Only in Miami headline. Dateline, Miami. Federal agents say a canine has detected 13 kilograms of cocaine. That's 30 pounds. 30 pounds of cocaine inside a commercial passenger plane at Miami International Airport. The U.S. Customs and Border Protection agents initially offered to show local 10 News the confiscated cocaine Tuesday morning at the Cargo Clearance Center on Northwest 25th Street, but they canceled that offer, saying they cannot show the cocaine or speak any further on the matter at this time because they don't want to compromise the investigation. Agents would not disclose what airline's plane the drugs were found on or when exactly the cocaine was discovered. So this is like a regular, I don't even want to like throw out the name of an airline since I'm not, I don't know, so I don't even want to throw out an example, but think about, this could have been like any popular commercial airline where it is regular people, you know, flying for a trip or flying back home from somewhere. And oh, by the way, someone, you know, presumably who works for that airline is using that as a drug mule to smuggle in 30 pounds of cocaine. How very Miami is that?
Correct.
That's lightweight compared to some of the stuff we've had.
That is true.
I was like, you're just slacking on your Pippin there, buddy.
Yeah, but I mean, I guess it's not like a freight, you know, boat where they put tons of cocaine.
Exactly. Like
and weed. It's a plane.
Like you can't expect to get that many in like a regular flight. It's not like a giant tanker, like a giant airplane or a giant boat full of it. Man. Only in Miami, man.
There's no way I'm doing that. Like you see these shows where it's like, you know, I forget what's the name of the show, but they go through the airports and they just, you know, watch the people and they pull people aside and stuff. And you're like, are you an idiot? Like you really put that much cocaine in your like suitcase? Like nothing was going to happen?
Yeah.
I'm not doing that.
And you're I love how you get the occasional weirdo who just has it like on there. They put like something like a weapon or something through the X-ray machine. It's like, hold on, like are you just like too dumb to realize you can't do that? Like,
but think about this. Think about the people that really do it. The runners that pretty much swallow that and then have to defecate that out.
Yeah, the balloons.
Woo!
Yeah,
right. I felt bad for some of those girls, man.
Yeah, but you know the problem.
It's crazy.
How they swallow that big old balloon. Like, I'm going to choke. I'm going to die.
I didn't know you swallowed it. I thought
you swallow. You go up the downstairs.
You can do both.
I'm not an expert like you guys are.
You better hope the bag doesn't break or you're going to have it.
But then again, the craziest part to me is once you defecate it, you have to pick through like your feces. Like, come on, man.
But how you think everything gets in jail, bro?
Yeah, but still.
Listen, man.
It's literally moving weight.
Times is tough, man. What you got to do?
You got to move that weight, boy. You got to move that weight.
No way. I ain't going. No, heck no. Someone else clean it up, man. Someone else clean it up. I moved it. You clean it.
Yeah.
Clean up aisle 6.
I got to hand it to us. Even without Dan Day, we managed to take the downward turn.
Right?
Like, if he's listening
That's on
right,
me right there.
If he's
That's
listening right,
right
now,
there.
He's so proud of
he
us.
He is.
Proud of us.
Oh, man. So, today is the 30th anniversary of Buster Douglas over Mike Tyson, a fight that it seems so routine for Tyson. A lot of casinos didn't even have odds on it, right? Because they wouldn't even like be fair to like take a big. Because you could put, you know, like a $10 bet on Buster Douglas and clean up. Like, no odds on it in a lot of different places. The fight happened in Japan, so it was essentially in the middle of the night over here. It was going to be, you know, tape delay on pay per view, and Buster Douglas pulls off what was statistically seemingly impossible. Yeah, you know, I know that was a very embarrassing moment for big Tyson fan Vlad over there, and I like Mike Tyson.
First
as well.
Of all, Mike won the fight.
What?
Let's be real.
What?
Mike did win the fight.
Nah, he didn't win the
fight.
He won the fight when he knocked him down and the referee didn't count the full 10.
Conspiracy theory.
If you watch that fight again.
Only New Yorkers will say
no,
that.
No.
I mean, admittedly, I haven't watched the whole thing from start to finish.
It's probably been 15 years.
Mike won the fight and Buster got extra seconds to get up.
Okay, listen. I'll give this to that theory. When Buster got knocked down, Buster was not out of it. Buster was disappointed that he got caught. But the ref did have a longer count than usual. I will admit that.
Right.
But to me, the funniest thing about that fight, I watched the Mike Tyson documentary that came out, I want to say back in 2006, 2007-ish.
Yeah.
He said, listen, Mike was just at funny.
He was wilding.
Mike said Absolutely. That going into that fight, he said he was burning like a hot summer day in July, like down in that department, because he said he just had so much unprotected sex with the Japanese woman.
He said he was having fun.
Listen, he said he literally caught something
before
the fight.
If you're burning down there, you definitely got something. And,
Sure. And
he had that coronavirus before it was known.
He's patient zero. It started 30 years ago with Tyson.
And listen, I was just thinking to myself, hearing that story, like, wow, like Mike just really thought he was just the man at that time.
It didn't have
to prepare for nothing.
It was, you know, things were going on in Mike's life.
It was,
It was Robin Givens, you know, his mother-in-law. You know, they were all wilding back at that time. Mike was in a proper state of mind, and Don King was stealing money from him. So
sure, and also, like, if you watch Mike Tyson through the years, he wasn't exactly the type of fighter that would keep himself in great shape 24/7, 365. Like, Tyson had to be really motivated to give that extra percentage in training camp or to keep himself in shape. So you're going up against what looked like a tomato can in Buster Douglas, and you're fighting in Japan. You're surrounded by the Japanese women. You got all this stuff going on. That was probably among the most half-assed training camps he ever
had
before a fight.
Absolutely. But he still wanted to fight, even though he lost. But he wanted to, he knocked him down, and there should have been a 10 count.
But still pretty embarrassing for a guy like Tyson to struggle that much against a guy like
Buster
Douglas.
When you come to know the story, though, Donald, and don't realize he wasn't even training, he was just smashing, like that was the only training he was doing.
He should have still been smashing Buster Douglas at the end of the day. The guy outside of the smashing he was doing outside of the ring.
Yeah. I mean, you know, you could smash a Buster, you could smash some girls. I you know, hey, listen, he went with the latter, and it caught up to him. But big upset, sad day in Brooklyn. But he did win the fight, though. I'm just letting you people know. He did win the fight. The referee, that was the longest 10 count known in boxing.
But listen, that was a good 1-2 by Buster, though.
Oh, listen.
Because Mike was trying to find his mouthpiece.
No, listen, when you're trying to find mouthpiece, it's over.
It's over.
It's over.
It's over.
Mike, this was the beginning of Mike's downfall. Mike didn't care anymore. His mind was really messed up.
It was.
And
listen, it's understandable given everything going on in his life, man. Totally. And man, I think it's amazing the way that, because I can remember, you know, watching Tyson and seeing him do interviews and fighting, you know, going back to like the early 90s. Like when the Buster Douglas thing happened, I was like 5.5 years old, so that I wasn't really aware of that one. But I started to get into Tyson a few years after that. And
the Holyfield.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Totally. Yeah. That series of fights and the ear biting and all that. But like,
crazy.
Like Tyson had this, you know, and everyone talks about the Tyson effect, the aura and stuff, and how for really, especially before Douglas, he had everyone beaten before he even stepped into the ring, and he just seemed like at that time, even after the Douglas fight, like a genuinely frightening, intimidating guy. And then that weird thing happened when he was in The Hangover, and then he started like doing these interviews and sounding lovable, and he's doing the one-man show. It's a remarkable transformation.
I agree.
Right? Because the Tyson of the 80s and 90s like just seemed like a genuinely frightening dude. And now the guy's a teddy bear. And I don't mean that as an insult, because I find him to be delightful, right? Like anytime you see, oh, Tyson's going to be on a late night talk show, or Tyson's going to be doing like a comedy special, or I can watch his one man show. Like, oh, this is a really delightful, funny, he's probably a really fun guy to hang out with and get a beer with. If you were to talk about that, about the Tyson in the 90s, I'd be afraid to be in the same room with the guy.
It's crazy to think about the transformation, because he went from the Tyson that was on stage cursing reporters out and saying all type of like obscenities to now the Tyson.
I hate your kids.
No, he to said.
Like to now the Tyson that was in Hangover, and now the Tyson that's doing like podcasts.
Broadway
and everything.
Yeah,
people love. Yeah.
Bleep, 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 white boy.
Yeah, man. He went off.
Yeah,
he went off, man. But you know what it is? I think when you see such an intimidating figure show humility and show his vulnerable side, that's when you start realizing that maybe he wasn't all messed up. He was messed up in the head, and it wasn't all his fault.
Yeah.
Like, he came from tough surroundings, a tough upbringing, and when you feel like it's almost like Mike got tranquilized, and you started seeing, like, you know, like an animal in a cage, and you just see them, like, they get tranquilized, and you start seeing them in a different light. Oh, he's not angry as we think he is.
And also, like, I'm sure during his career, probably a lot of that was calculated, because when you're a professional, when you're a professional prize fighter, you don't want people to see your soft side, right? Like, you don't want people to see that. Oh, I'm really into having, like, pet carrier pigeons and, like, all this stuff. Like, because Mike's got a lot of, like, weird stuff going on in his life that you didn't even know about, because he probably wanted to portray the effect of, this is just a scary, tough SOB who's going to knock anybody out, whether you're at a nightclub or you're in the ring getting paid millions of dollars. And it was probably at least partially calculated. He didn't want anyone to know there was more to Mike Tyson than
you
that.
You saw what he did to Mitch Blood Green?
Yeah.
Listen, Mike Tyson was like the pit bull that you're walking down the street in the neighborhood that ain't got no leash on it.
Yep.
He's just walking by himself, and you're like, oh, hell no, I'm going that way.
That's
running.
Funny.
I'm out.
Yep, he's absolutely right. He's like that junkyard.
Oh, what?
Pitbull, yeah. No. You see him? You know he's around that area. You see if there's any fresh poop on the ground, you're like, uh-oh, somebody's around.
Yeah, see ya.
I'm out.
So, you know, I think we know a lot more today about why Tyson didn't, you know, perform or didn't win the Buster Douglas fight that we did at that time. But with all things considered, where do you rank that on the biggest upsets of all time list? Because I still would probably put the Miracle on Ice ahead of that.
I agree.
At least, and listen, maybe you could make an argument as to why maybe it wasn't as shocking as you thought that America beat the Soviet Union that year. But, you know, based on the way that that's covered and what people who I've spoken to over the years who actually covered that Olympics, you know, I wasn't born quite yet, but I don't think any of us were at that time. But, you know, all things considered, that seems to me up there with some of the biggest ever. I can even look, like, elsewhere in the fighting world. I remember a UFC fight back in 2007 when Matt Serra knocked out George St. Pierre.
Yes.
Like, not only was that an incredible upset at the time, but, yeah, it became very clear. Like, Matt Serra was a fine fighter, but he was nowhere near the level of George. Like George St. Pierre after that
destroyed
fight.
Destroyed him. Yeah, he destroyed him in the rematch.
Destroyed him in the rematch and didn't lose again, I don't think.
Villanova over Georgetown, that was big.
That's another huge one. I was going to go with. Yeah.
What about the Giants beating the undefeated Patriots in the Super Bowl?
Yes.
The thing is, like, they had to get to the Super Bowl, though, is the only thing I'll say.
Yeah, but it was undefeated.
Yeah, true. Yeah. I mean, I can almost say, though, like, some of these wins the Dolphins have had over the Patriots the last couple of years. Right? Yeah. I mean, how did the 2019 Dolphins beat the 2019 Patriots in Foxborough?
Easy. They had Fitzpatrick.
Fitzmagic.
App State up in Michigan.
That's another one I was thinking about earlier
today.
That was
big time. I'm not going to say the Flutie damn touchdown, but the Flutie touchdown against Miami.
What about FIU over Miami?
Come on. You had to go there.
No, I had to go there.
Come on, man. You had to go there.
That doesn't get on the list.
Come on, man.
That don't get on the list.
But for Manny Chang, I bet it will.
Nah, it's Manny Chang.
Well, no, if you talk to Manny Chang, he would say that wasn't an upset.
Right? Okay, that's true. Facts.
That's how cocky Manny is.
Yeah, man.
Was that the so sorry to even bring that up again, but FIU over Miami, is that like the most embarrassing loss for teams that we support?
Okay, I think so. Like, to me, the worst loss I ever suffered, of course, I'm going to have to go back to the Fiesta Bowl in 2003.
Yeah, but you didn't lose.
True,
you got robbed.
Fair. Just like Tyson, you got robbed.
Exactly.
True,
robbed.
But man, I mean, that was just like – I've never been in a locker room that was so quiet and all I heard was sobs. And again, I lost some big games in the pros, but that game was just so quiet in the locker room. Even coaches were like sobbing. And I remember the bus ride back to the hotel. It was just quiet. And still to this day, it's funny now to think about it, but at the time it wasn't funny. So when we got back to the hotel, like, they had, like, I guess this little room set up where, like, they were going to feed us after the game. And it was supposed to be, like, a celebration. So we go in a room, and I kid you not, they're playing music like someone just died. I'm thinking, like, come on, guys. Like, I mean, we can't add injury to insult. You remember that, Vlad?
Oh, it was sad, bro.
Like, the music was just so sad. Like, listen, I took my food and went up to my room and just called it a night, man. Damn.
It was, listen. And we stayed in a nice place in Scottsdale.
We did, man.
We stayed in a nice place in Scottsdale.
We did.
And you could tell, like, they were going to celebrate and
correct.
Have a great time.
Oh,
back
man.
To back. It was like, that was it. The stamp on this new dynasty. And then it was just, you can't just, everybody just can't get over the fact that they won. Like, they were celebrating.
Yeah.
Shirts were being worn.
Fireworks were going off.
Listen, okay, by the way, I had my shirt on. So the year before we won the national championship, Me, listen, I'm a big guy. I'm about like 6'5", about, I'll say like 290
Keep
or so.
Keep bragging,
95.
Why don't you? And 7% body okay. fat, all right.
So I remember I missed the boxes. So I think the shirt I took home, I think may have been a medium, and like I gave it to my mom. I couldn't
okay.
wear it.
Yeah, yeah.
So this year, so the following year, I look at Andre Johnson, and he found the box. So I'm like, okay, Dre got the box. So I went next to Dre. I got my little shirt, like a 2X, and literally I had my shirt in my hand. And I remember seeing Sean Taylor. He threw his helmet up in the air.
Oh, my God.
And I'm like, listen, I ran on the field celebrating. And before I know it, they're like, yes, listen, come back to the sideline, blah, blah, blah. And I literally had to put my shirt back in the box, and I never seen that shirt again.
Oh,
I guess,
man.
Like, some kid in Africa, like, probably
yeah, so,
wasn't
so, some kid in Indonesia is rocking it
right
now.
And Haiti thinks it came to the back-to-back champions, right?
Yeah.
I mean, not only was that a bad call.
I seen the shirt, and I had it on, Donald.
Oh, no.
That was the worst.
I didn't even
back-to-back.
Know. Back-to-back. Wow. Like, not only was it a bad call, but there's got to be a statute of limitations on even throwing that flag, right? Like, you waited that long to throw it, right?
Man.
Like, not only are you going to make a bad call, but you're going to wait insanely long to make the bad call.
So, to make it worse, my rookie year, I played in Carolina with Chris Gamble, and he admitted to me, he said, listen.
Oh, my God.
I dropped
that
the
bastard.
Ball. He said, I just dropped it. He said, the cornerback you guys had? Like,
Glenn
did not
Sharp?
Interfere. Like,
Glenn
like,
Sharp
like,
did not
he
touch
said,
him.
He said, I just dropped the ball.
Oh, my God.
Plain and simple.
Oh,
I said, come
God.
On, man. I said, seriously?
Listen.
I don't want to hear that right
well,
now.
Well, at least he admitted because what is he going to do, take his ring back?
You know what? And you know what, Rashad? I'm so glad you admit, like, well, you didn't admit it, but I'm so glad you told me he admitted it because I got a couple friends who are Ohio State fans who to this day will try and tell me, Dono, you're crazy. It was the right call. It was past review. But if I come back at those losers – with the fact you just told me Chris Gamble admitted he just dropped it, I'm going to win a couple of how many years has it been now? I'm going to win a couple of 18-year-old arguments.
Because, listen, he knows because if you look at the replay and they slow it down, he just dropped the ball before Glenn Sharp touched him. Plain and simple.
Yeah.
It went right through his hands.
Don't tell me that.
You just opened up old wounds.
Don't tell me
that.
Damn,
sorry.
Why you got to bring us down like that?
I apologize.
You're going to have to console me tonight, babe. This is some sad news.
Seriously,
right now.
I feel like I've just taken a time machine back to 2003, and I've just been kicked in the groin all over again.
This is something you don't want to reminisce over. Damn, Troy.
I mean, it was really my fault. I brought it up. I mean, I brought up upsets and all that. By the way, this is a good one we hadn't even mentioned. Rick and Davey, who's been all over the text line tonight. How about Leicester City?
I agree.
Yes,
man. That one dude.
And you know what? Like, what was so impressive about that was. You know, that wasn't winning one game. That was compiling enough points throughout the course of a 38-game season to win the Premier League.
I got one for you. A couple years ago.
Yeah?
Liverpool, Barcelona. Barcelona was up 3-0.
I think that was just last year. Yeah.
I was going to say, that wasn't that long ago.
Just last year.
Liverpool was down 3-0.
That was Champions League. Yeah.
Champions League. Uh-huh. Was it quarters or semi? No, I think it was quarters.
I think it was the. I think it was the semis.
It was the semis. I think it was the semis. Yeah.
Yeah, because the Man City Tottenham semis was crazy too.
Yeah.
Don't remind me.
It literally was.
Do not remind me.
It literally was the best Champions League I've ever
because
seen.
Because
we got the bottom.
Because we got robbed by VAR.
Yeah, you didn't get robbed. You guys
suck. Come on,
suck.
Man. We got robbed by VAR.
Yeah, that was offside.
I've been robbed by VAR so many times I can commiserate with you.
But come on, they were down.
No, it was an unbelievable comeback.
And they have in Barcelona, all Barcelona needed was one road goal.
What was it?
One away goal.
Luigi?
Yeah.
Luigi had the last two or whatever.
Correct.
Yeah. And then that was it. So that was, to me, that was one of the biggest upsets. Because that was, I mean, this is Barcelona with Messi, Suarez, still considered one of the best teams in the world. And
but now we look at the Liverpool team like.
That was the beginning.
Oh, my God. Well,
that's
the beginning. What is their lead now in the standings?
13
are
they, or
like 19 points up in the table?
It's
crazy.
Up there.
Infinity.
It's a wrap.
Like, they would have to lose out like for anyone to have a chance to
They're basically
to win the
playing to see if they could win Champions League again.
That's it. It's Champions League. All they're trying to do right now is set records in the EPL.
Right.
That's all they're trying to do.
Go for the treble.
As long as Juventus doesn't win Champions League. I don't know how they will. Because
Juventus doesn't win it.
Juventus
ain't winning the Champions
League.
No, I don't think
like
so.
You
want
to bet that?
I'm not betting you.
You want to bet that, Vlad?
I'm not betting you.
Okay.
I'm taking 6 months off.
Maybe they'll just turn it on. Maybe they'll just turn it on in Champions League. But the funny thing is, if you don't watch them play, you would never know that they haven't been looking good because if you follow like the major accounts, all people do is tweet out when Ronaldo scores.
Oh, we got a fight going on.
But even though he keeps scoring, they keep losing.
Yeah. They bring him in for his first game, and he's ready to start something.
Sixers and Clippers are fighting?
Yeah, Joel Embiid. And looked like Paul George.
No, it was Marquise Morris.
Oh, yeah, Marcus is always going
to
be there.
Marcus, my bad.
Embiid wants to fight all the way down to Miami. He wants out of there.
Yeah, but, you know, they bring him in to be like an enforcer, and here he goes already starting something in his first game.
Jeez.
Oh.
Nice shove.
And by the way, Morris is from Philly, so this is his hometown.
Oh, he is?
Yeah. He's not gonna
I didn't
take,
know that.
Yeah, he's not going to take both he and his twin brother from Philadelphia, so he's not going to take none of that BS.
So is he really a tough guy? Like, he's a street dude, or is he just on the basketball court?
I think he's a B-ball of tough guy.
Okay.
He ain't Oak. He's not Oakley.
Or Mason.
Mason. Oakley, they're going to take that.
I agree.
They going to want to meet you outside after the game.
Is Oakley allowed back in Madison Square Garden now?
I don't think so.
Is he banned for life?
Yeah.
I think so.
That is embarrassing.
Dolan's embarrassment.
Dang, James
you think he cares? You think he cares? I mean,
listen.
You saw the news today. They're the richest franchise in the NBA.
Listen, if my best friend was Michael Jordan, I wouldn't care if I was Oakley.
Hell no.
True.
You know?
You're doing all right.
Exactly. Definitely. Like, that's my best friend.
And he's
Michael Jordan.
And he's an investor in Red Steakhouse.
I know that. Yes, he is.
He's a great cook, by the way.
He's an investor in Red Steakhouse, which
is.
And if you owe money, don't have him come find you.
Oh, yeah, well, no.
Jeff McInnes.
Yeah.
Tyrone Hill.
67974 on the Kendall Toyota, West Kendall Toyota text line. Big roundtable action here. Alex Dono, Brian Monroe, Rashad Butler, Vlad Lewisant with you till 10 o'clock here on 790 The Ticket.
Let's go. Guests on 790 The Ticket appear on the Toyota of Hollywood guest line. Shop over 1,500 Toyotas indoors in one of America's largest showrooms at Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sheridan.
You're killing this workout. But are you protecting the future of your teeth like you do your body? I mean, who wants a six-pack and unhealthy teeth? Not to worry. Crest Proactive Defense Toothpaste shields and defends against potential issues to future-proof your whole mouth. Crest, healthy, beautiful smiles for life. Now, back to that workout.
It all starts with just one thing. Get to know your local beekeeper. You can make sure they don't use chemicals in the hive and that they only sell surplus honey. Plus, locally produced honeys have a smaller carbon footprint. Find tips and more at onethingus.com.
DriversAutomart.com, home of wholesale to public. Right now at DriversAutomart.com, all vehicles priced thousands below the market. Over 600 quality pre-owned vehicles in stock starting at zero down, $99 per month. Wholesale auction pricing only at DriversAutomart.com.
Guys, let me tell you about testosterone replacement therapy. I've been getting T-shots at the Men's Wellness Centers well over a year now, and it's changed my life for the better. Their professional staff is dedicated to getting you feeling and performing your best. Over time, they monitor your T levels. You'll have one-on-one conversations with trained medical professionals. Avoid walking into a store with a salesperson pushing a product they're making a commission off of. Don't get caught up with dangerous pills or fly-by-night companies that just want your money. If you've noticed a lack of energy, decrease in muscle mass, you're not feeling sharp mentally, or you're experiencing less desire or success in the bedroom, head to the Men's Wellness Centers before taking a chance on a cheap, dangerous alternative. Men's Wellness Centers has locations in Boca Raton, Plantation, and now open in Miami. Check them out at menswellnesscenters.com or call them at 954-526-9000. That's 954-526-9000. 954-526-9000.
Our family lives with AT&T. It hasn't been our best choice. For one, it doesn't have the Wi-Fi control that you get with Xfinity XFi. So, buddy, tell the people what happened yesterday with AT&T.
I gamed forever! It was the best!
It was the worst. I tried everything. Positive reinforcement, child meditation, even the old use your body as a human shield. Nothing.
It would have been a new record if the power didn't go out in just our house.
Yeah. I'm not proud of that. But what else was I going to do? With Xfinity XFi, we could pause the Wi-Fi and get some much-needed family time in. But with AT&T, we're going to need some more control. Or a daily personal power outage.
Huh?
Yep, we're switching to Xfinity.
Stop living with AT&T. Pause your in-home Wi-Fi with Xfinity XFi. Plus, ask about download speed up to 400 megabits per second or even faster, up to 1 gig. Restrictions apply. Not available in all areas. Xfinity XFi is available to Xfinity Internet customers with compatible Xfinity Gateway. Limited to home Wi-Fi network. Does not apply to Xfinity Wi-Fi hotspots. Maximum download speed of 940 megabits when hardwired via Ethernet. Actual speeds vary and are not guaranteed.
Hi, we're the Goo Goo Dolls. We're fortunate that our daughters have what they need to grow and learn. But that isn't the case for nearly 13 million kids in the U.S. that struggle with hunger.
Childhood hunger is a heartbreaking reality that Feeding America is working to change. Each year, the Feeding America network of food banks rescues billions of pounds of good food that would have gone to waste and provides it to families and children in need.
You can help kids in need in your community by visiting feedingamerica.org.
Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Listen to 790 The Ticket on your laptop, desktop, iPad, phone, anywhere. Go to theticketmiami.com, click the listen button, and there we are.
So we're allowed to dream, right? And I think Heat fans are entitled to dream a little bit when you've got a guy like Pat Riley who's brought in the Timmy Hardaways and the Alonzo Mournings and the LeBron Jameses and the Chris Bosches and now the Jimmy Butlers. So the imaginations of many were captivated yesterday when Joel Embiid of the 76ers had an interesting Instagram exchange with his pal Jimmy Butler, who's now with the Miami Heat. Embiid posts that photo when he raised his finger to his lips, and then the caption said, "You either die a hero or live long enough to see yourself become the villain." A great, great scholar, Bruce Wayne, once said that. And Jimmy Butler responded, "I know a place where villains are welcome," to which Joel Embiid responded, "Damn right, my brother." So it got the wheels churning in the minds of many a Heat fan who would picture, oh, reunited Joel Embiid and Jimmy Butler in Miami. My question is how, right? When he's under contract, Embiid, in Philly until 2023. So Philadelphia would have to be inclined to trade him, or he would have to really be upset and do whatever he can to force a trade. And then if a trade were to take place, how much, who, and what would Miami have to give up to get him? So let me ask you guys, just hypothetically, for any trade, who on the current Heat roster, how many guys would you say are completely untouchable? Jimmy Butler for sure. Bam Adebayo?
Correct.
Yeah, are those because we mentioned this whole Embiid thing, and a couple people texted in that they would trade Bam for Embiid in a heartbeat. I don't know if Pat Riley would agree with that. I think
you're gonna have to put him in there.
Well, would you even do it then? Is what I'm asking you. Like, would you consider both Jimmy and Bam to be untradeable under virtually any situation, or would you say, you know what, Adebayo in a package to bring in Embiid, that's worth it?
I think the only player that is untradeable on this roster is Jimmy. Because if you say, let's just say hypothetically, Giannis right. This year, they go for a trade. All right, we want Bam.
Well, you're right about that. Because
no problem.
You're right about that. That's a good point, because there's got to be a limit here. Where I would be hesitant to give up Bam for Embiid, but if it's Bam for Giannis, I will drive him to the airport.
Yeah, in a second. Because I think this scares you with Embiid is, one, the injury history.
Correct.
Right?
That's one.
The immaturity. Does he gel well? We know Jimmy and him are friends, it seems like, somewhat.
Yeah.
So that helps. But you can tell that him and Ben Simmons don't get along. So does he get along with all of his teammates? I think those are the
And how much
biggest.
Of a diva is he, too?
Yeah. Well, he's a big diva.
He's a huge diva.
Huge diva. But, you know, if he keeps acting the way he is, he might get ran out of town with those Philly fans.
Again, the thing I just worry about the most is, we've always heard these reports about Joel Embiid at times not engaged, not giving maximum effort. And one thing we know about the Miami Heat, if you're going to put on that uniform, one thing they do not tolerate is guys that don't give maximum effort. Because we had a guy in Hassan Whiteside.
And another guy in Deion Waiters, right? You've been burned multiple times.
Now, again, I know you referenced this earlier. Of course, the Heat lifers are going to say, or the Heat fanboys are going to say, well, he's going to adjust to the culture.
Of course, that's it.
I mean, but again, we thought the same thing about Hassan Whiteside.
Yeah,
exactly. And it never happened.
He got his money, and he totally went away from the culture.
He got his money, and then he started Snapchatting from the zoo, and it was all over.
And that was it. Rap City. But he also knew that Miami was desperate at that time. I don't think Miami's desperate at this time. They have assets, they have money, and they have a plan.
Mm-hmm.
They weren't caught by surprise, which, you know, at that time when LeBron left and Wade started getting that, the injuries was just mounting up on him, and Bosch's heart condition, they needed something to fall back on, and that was Hassan that one season, and he got paid off it. I don't think you're going to get that now with the leader of your team being Jimmy Butler. Jimmy's the leader of that Heat culture right now, and they got their guys. They got Hero, they got Robinson, they got Dunn, so they got the pieces. You need one big piece. And everybody's talking about the big orca in 2021.
Antetokounmpo, baby, the killer whale.
So,
man, if they can pull that off. Boy.
It's like if we were talking about anybody other than Pat Riley, I would consider it just a pipe dream. But, I mean, I'm done doubting the guy.
Yeah.
Right? And it's not like I've made a habit of doubting the guy, but I did doubt Riley for a couple of years when he was handing out contracts to mediocre players like James Johnson and Deion Waiters. But it seems like Riley has learned from that very brief blip on the radar of making poor decisions, and he's back to being vintage, you know, mid-2000s Riley. It seems like we've got our guy back. I don't know what was going through his mind when he made sure to lock down JJ and Deion, but it seems like we've got our guy back in Riley. So I wouldn't count him out, and I think we're already getting a pretty good idea with the way they're putting so many eggs in the 2021 basket. I mean, it reminds me of, you know, around 2008 when they started to prepare their salary cap for 2010, knowing he's got something big in store. And a lot of people thought the big thing that they had in store was Chris Bosh, but it turned out to be that and LeBron James. So I don't doubt Pat Riley. And if you're lining up everything,
What? Ooh.
And with the way that they're lining up everything to harpoon the big whale in 2021, I'm not necessarily putting, you know, a gigantic percentage on Antetokounmpo coming here. I mean, gun to my head, out of 100, I'd maybe say 30, but I think that's pretty damn good with how many teams you'll be competing with for his services that I would not count Riley out in that.
Now, question: if Riley was to orchestrate that, where would we stack that era with the hype of the era that began in 2010 with the big three?
Oh, no. Nah,
it can't compare.
It does not compare.
And part of it is very different personalities of that group.
I agree.
Right? Because Antetokounmpo seems like a really soft-spoken guy.
He does.
You know, Jimmy Butler is more of the blue-collar type.
Mm-hmm.
And Adebayo, same thing. Whereas the 2010 team was Hollywood.
It was.
Right? Yeah, you remember.
Yeah, that's why Joakim Noah called them.
Yeah, uh-huh. He called them Hollywood as hell. That team was – they were the Heatles. They were the traveling circus. Whereas
not one,
if you're talking,
not two, not three. Yeah, man.
He wasn't right. By the way, you know he wasn't right. He wasn't wrong. He was talking about himself.
Was he? Oh, that's true. He is a greedy, selfish bastard.
Okay,
he was talking about himself.
Okay, conspiracy theorist.
You're probably right.
He went to 8 consecutive finals. He wasn't lying.
He did. He lost most of them.
But he didn't say they were going to win. He just said we're going to go to not one, not two, not three. He was right.
And technically, he stayed here.
No matter where he was, he was winning.
Man, listen, that was just a great time and era in Miami, man. It
and
really
I know
was.
You have some of the same story as I have.
Of course.
During that era, man, there was no better.
Are these
time
things you
to
can
be
say
Miami.
On the radio or not?
Oh, but, for sure.
But okay, but you know what? Question to you, Donald, because I'm assuming you were working in sports radio at that time in Miami.
Yeah, I was. Yeah.
How was it as far as the buzz on a nightly basis working in sports radio during that era?
It was, I mean, I really, really consider that as a turning point in the sports radio business, and I'll tell you why. And I happened to be at that time, I was working at 790 The Ticket, which we're on 790 The mm-hmm. Ticket now. That was before I went to 560, and now everyone's all the same somehow, so we're all together again. And 790 like got the rights to air Heat games. They became the Heat flagship station.
Oh, nice. I didn't know that.
Either right before or right after LeBron arrived. So the timing was perfect. And I can just remember that as, no lie, being like a change of an era in sports radio, because instantly the audience for sports radio got younger. Like instantly. Now, obviously, football talk down here still moves the needle more than anything.
Mm-hmm.
But like back before that, like you would, when you were doing sports radio shows, you know, and people would call in, listeners would call, you were usually talking to like 50, 60-year-old Dolphins fans.
Yeah.
And then all of a sudden, the big three becomes a thing. And like a lot of like 20, 22-year-olds who probably never even bothered to listen to sports talk radio were so caught up in that moment and the hype around it that they made 790 The Ticket a big part of their lives. And all of a sudden, like, you're used to talking to 50-year-old Dolphin fans on the phone, and then you're taking calls from, like, 19-year-olds who want to talk NBA battle. It was a huge different thing. And, like, you know, that created Heat Twitter. Like, all these, you know, guys, a lot of them are now, like, 30, but they were, you know, 20 years old at the time. Like, it just immediately, like, it really, it was like a noticeable change
in like in just an era for the types of people who listen to sports talk radio, because the audience started getting a lot younger like overnight. Yep. It was crazy.
I can imagine.
Yeah.
How crazy. Like,
what a
listen.
Good time. What a good time.
And this is why you got spoiled Heat fans now.
Yeah, I mean, sure. Listen, I'd be spoiled from that, too.
I agree.
If I was a Heat lifer and I went through what you went through, and then you had the D-Wade championship, I mean, and then all of a sudden you were really bad a couple years, and then you get LeBron and Bosh and the rest of that team.
But that's the thing.
I mean, but think about it. For those 4 years, Miami became the epicenter of basketball. Like, to where
it was a media capital.
Yeah, to where, like, if you went to a Heat game, you were going to see the who's who.
Everybody.
And everybody.
Everybody.
Like,
was
listen,
there.
I remember – coming down here for my offseason, and I couldn't wait to go to a Heat game.
Yeah.
Like to me, going to a Heat game at that time was more important than going to a club.
Oh,
right,
fact.
Right. Remember,
it was.
Before that, people would like make that like their pre-club stop or
true.
Whatever.
Oh, yeah,
and then that
forget
became
dinner.
The event. Yeah.
Forget
yeah.
dinner in a club. It's Heat yeah. game to the
Grey Goose Lounge. Yeah. And before Hyde, there was Grey Goose Lounge.
Right. That's
and
true.
Everybody uh-huh. went to Grey Goose Lounge. Like, that was hey, man, you got to get a wristband at Grey Goose uh-huh. Lounge. Yeah. I remember going there one of the times, the very first time I went in there. Floyd Mayweather, Magic Johnson. I was like, yeah, my God, everybody's in here. It was absolutely insane. And then, you know, you're trying to get tickets for games at the Doers Rail.
Yeah.
All you can eat playoff games. Oh, my God. I used to get used all the time because I used to live across the street from the arena. And people hit me up. Hey, Miro, I got an extra ticket to the game if you want to go. Okay, what's up? Can I park at your building?
You already knew.
I'm like, hey, that's a good trade-off, yeah. man.
That is a great trade-off.
That
we'll
is.
Take
yeah.
a walk down there.
But Donald, the fact of the matter is that if Giannis does come to Miami, the buzz will be there, but it won't be the same.
Yeah.
As because
it's going to be different. Yeah.
LeBron was different. The fact that he had a special and everybody tuned in to watch the man decide where is he going to go.
Correct. And then he made 90% of America so angry with
and
that
And he made 90%
great.
Of America angry.
Listen.
And the Miami, nobody expected Miami to get the team. Except
I agree.
Stephen
Only
A.
me.
Smith.
Only yeah. me and Stephen A.
Stephen A. And yeah. I was working with Stephen A. at that time, and I already
oh,
knew.
Yeah?
Yeah, but yeah, because he was at Fox Sports Radio at the time, and he already mentioned to us. And it was sad because, and I love her. I'm not even going to put her name out there, but the update anchor, with the day that the announcement was going to make would be made, she was going saying that, and rumors still have LeBron James going to the New York Knicks because the announcement was going to be made in Westchester,
yeah,
in New York at the Boys and Girls Club.
So nobody that broke assumed. Your heart then. You thought,
oh,
oh
no,
maybe
Stephen
she knows.
A. already had told me that he's going to
Miami.
Oh,
so you knew it was BS. What she was saying.
I knew who his source was.
Who is this? Oh, I guess you can't reveal that.
I can reveal it.
Okay, reveal it now.
You're retiring his number in a couple of weeks.
Dwayne Wade.
D-Wade?
Yeah.
Wow. Wow.
That's why when they took that picture and then they would see with Bosh at the dinner table and they were like, we're waiting for one more. Yeah, we're waiting for Bron. We knew it for two. I was like, wow, it's going to happen. He's going to go to Miami and then we're hearing it. I was telling all my fans, my friends from the Knicks fans, don't get gassed.
Yeah.
He's not coming to New York.
The Knicks fans were getting gassed, too.
Oh,
it's like,
come
listen,
on,
I
he had the announcement in Westchester Boys and Girls Club. I think Allen Houston was supposed to be there.
Oh, man.
Yeah, everybody is like, no.
Man.
He's going to Miami.
You know, like that was – see, that like there's certain moments in time to where you can recall where you were when something happened. And I tell people, when the decision was made, I can recall where I was and how I was just focused on the TV and just hoping. Because, again
– and by the way, I was so mad at Jim Gray because he let LeBron ramble for like a half hour.
Exactly.
Before he even asked him, so LeBron, where will you be taking your talent? Like it was like, what was it, a half hour
it
before
was.
He even – like, well, dude, what is this, like 60 minutes? Like,
it
get
was.
To it, bro.
Yeah, and again, I just – see, I would have been fine with just – Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh because a part of me, I had my mind made up. Okay, Chris Bosh, Dwayne Wade, we could do this. But the minute he said South, I already knew. I knew. I said, hey, it's a wrap, man.
I didn't believe it when he said it, too.
Oh, you didn't believe it?
I was in my living room like.
Listen, I was going crazy.
Man, he ain't coming to the Heat.
I was going crazy.
The way that story was covered was nuts because over the next few days, like everyone, of course, remembers that all the news channels they cut to the sour, salty
the bars.
People in Cleveland.
The
people,
bars.
The people, in, the people in Cleveland
crying.
Who are crying
girl.
And burning their jerseys.
They went, yeah.
So I can remember, and this was probably like completely BS stuff from like sports blogs, but over the next few days, there were these reports that like, oh, LeBron felt so bad about people in Cleveland being so hurt by it that he's having second thoughts. Like, so, because you remember, and like you said, I'm sure that was BS, right? I'm sure it was BS.
No, I think he might have had second, you know, he didn't think that Cleveland was going
to
react.
But not enough to change his mind, right? Because I can remember, like, you know, a lot of, it might have all been just nonsense, but a lot of people saying, because, well, it was like a day or two after he announced it, before he actually signed the contract. I can remember people saying, oh, LeBron is now, he feels so bad. He's regretting what he did to Cleveland. He's going to change his mind. And I just thought that was like the beginning of the anti-Miami propaganda, because people so badly like did not want him to come here.
Because you guys didn't even know. You guys didn't know.
That's true.
The reaction was like,
I had no idea. No
idea. It felt like you won the lottery, which basically
honestly,
it almost
they won the lottery.
They won the lottery. Yeah. That's
what
it was.
But seriously, this might have just been me being delusional, but
you
I
wanted
was
it.
Very – no, I didn't even know, because I was very confident. And
oh, nice.
Part of it was I saw the Stephen A. reports. And I think Chris Broussard also had said that he was hearing Miami. So this might have just been me being – such a big Heat fan that I was like a little bit delusional. It was like confirmation bias because I found the people who were saying he's coming to Miami. But
yeah.
I was very like, obviously I was through the roof excited when he announced it because that made it real. But I was very confident when I watched the decision that he was coming here.
Man, I was in my living room watching it. I'm like, you know what? I'm not even the biggest basketball fan, but when LeBron gets there, this place is going to be crazy.
Yeah.
So sure enough, he says it. I'm like, did he really say that? He really said that, and I started running around.
Listen, I'll never forget. I was in apartment. I was in Houston, and there was this girl I was dealing with at the time, and I was at her house
dealing with.
I'm being honest, and so she didn't want to watch it because she, of course, was a Rockets fan and so forth, and you know me being from South Florida,
there was no chance he was going to Houston.
Yeah, listen, I was a Heat fan. And the minute he said that, I was just running around her apartment, and she was just hating.
She was
hating. Awesome. Yes, man.
Pissed.
And that was the last time he ever saw her.
Yeah.
Pretty much. Pretty much.
There was no one-on-one that day. There was no one-on-one that night, huh?
Before. It was before.
Dealing with.
We got in there before.
Dealing with. And then the biggest thing is when LeBron got here, it's like, where's LeBron going to live?
Yeah.
You know, he's going to get a house here. He's going to get a house there.
It ended up being like Coconut Grove, right?
He got a house in a grove, not in a gated community. Like, I would have thought he was going to Cocoa Plum, TD and the Beach.
Listen, you know one man is powerful when he raises rent by about at least $350 to $500. Because I swear, all of those condos in front of the arena, they went up about at least, what? $250, $500?
I don't know if you remember. So
crazy.
There's a condo down there called Viscayne.
Yes.
You've seen Viscayne, right? So Viscayne did a thing with D-Wade. Where they're like, look, we just want to use your name to say you're living here.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
So what we're going to do is we're going to give you the penthouse. You can have it for 2 years for free or 3 years for free.
What a life.
So he goes,
I know, right?
He goes, all right, I'll do that if you give my best friend a condo as well for free.
So
his best friend got a 3-bedroom condo for free there.
I really pick bad friends. Like
three
correct,
years.
Right?
I've been friends with Dwayne Wade.
Jeez, 3 years rent-free?
Rent-free.
Oh, my friends are a bunch of dead
And the place sold out like this when they found D-Wade was there.
Wow.
Well, you know where LeBron had a condo, right?
Yeah.
I guess I could say this now, right, since he's not here anymore.
Yeah.
He had a place in the Marquee.
Yeah.
That was where the extracurriculars
I remember
went
was
down.
Like, is that LeBron driving up in the garage?
Uh-huh.
A little extra pad?
Yeah, that is LeBron.
Perfect distance.
Oh, my God.
Perfect distance, man.
I can remember I was working on a morning show at the time. I was working on the Sedano show. It was on 6 a.m., so I'd have to wake up at like 4, 4:30 every morning, and I think the decision, it was on a weeknight for sure. I don't know if it was a Thursday night or a Monday night. It was on a weeknight, and, you know, I just remember not being able to sleep that night. Like, I ended up going to work just all no sleep, hopped up on coffee and adrenaline. He's like, as a Heat fan, how do you sleep after that?
I agree.
Yeah. Right?
Yeah.
I mean, maybe eventually I could have gone to sleep at, like, 4 a.m., but that's the time I had to wake up.
Another quick question. How was sports radio the day after that decision in
Miami? I'll tell you that right now.
It was a madhouse. go ahead, Vlad.
I'll tell you right now. They thought they won the suit. Like, they thought they won everything.
Yeah.
They won
the
lottery. They nobody can mess with Miami. Miami's that it's it. Him going to Miami changed a lot of careers down here. That's why George Sedano's in LA. I love Sedano. That's my boy.
He was already really good before that, but that made him a king.
Brian Windhorst went from just a local Cleveland reporter.
Yeah,
that is true.
To now being maybe after Woj,
LeBron's
the second
guy. Yep.
Yes, the
he was
second
LeBron's
most
guy.
Reliable.
LeBron's stalker,
and,
yeah. Yep.
Yes. No, literally.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't want to – Lebatard's Lebatard. He's great.
Yeah.
But the Lebatard machine
you're
started.
Right.
Like
you're right.
Everything,
that boosted him as well.
Yes.
Yeah, you're right.
Wherever he went, Pete, they were going to send reporters everywhere. It's even when he went to L.A.
Yeah.
Dave McMenamin is over there. All of a sudden, Windhorse is over there. Ramon, all of the he makes the he moves the pendulum. So therefore, when he came down here, that next day, you couldn't say nothing to Miami fans because they realized, oh, we're gonna have a championship, we're gonna have a parade, we got the best player, and we got Dwayne Wade, our own guy, and Chris Bosh. Miami radio, national radio was hating. Miami radio was
sure. No, that was one of those days, guys, where we do like a lot of 4-hour shows here, and obviously we have a very, very fun line of work. But
correct.
Once you're on for 4, then if you think about doing a 5, it does get to be a long
absolutely.
Time. But that was the type of day where I could have done a 7-hour show.
Yeah.
Honestly, I can imagine. You just wouldn't want to get off the air on a day like that, man.
Yeah.
I think we got we're incredibly late. I think we have one more segment, right? We're gonna have a we're gonna wrap it up when we come back here on 790 The Ticket.
The Ticket wants you to know that the event that's been thrilling all your senses is back for its 57th year. All the sights, sounds, tastes, culture, and family fun are better than ever. It's the Coconut Grove Arts Festival, South Florida's premier arts festival, taking place President's Day weekend, February 15th, 16th, and 17th. Make sure you're there for hundreds of global artists, hottie cuisine from around the world, live music, kids events, and culture for all. Tickets on sale now at cgaf.com or call 877-724-2787.
Hi, this is Eric Reed. The basketball season is underway. That means it's time to come back and visit our friends here at Austin Burke. I have been shopping for suits here for a long time, but it's only recently that I realized they sell casual clothes here too. I got a pair of jeans here for you that will change your life. I got 2 pairs of them. I want to get 2 more. No jean has ever fit better or felt better. You come in here and ask Kenny or Barry for the Eric Reed jeans, you're going to walk out of here with 2 or 3 of them. I swear you're going
to
love them.
And Eric, along with those jeans, I like to wear a nice sport coat, something stylish that you can wear out, be casual or dress it up. I love the sport coats here at Austin Burke.
It'll be the best jeans in your closet. They'll be the best suits in your closet. Do your shopping at Austin Burke.
Where great fit always costs less.
Whether it's jeans, sport coats, suits, even shirts, you get the best quality and the lowest prices in South Florida. Only at Austin Burke, 2601 Northwest 6th Avenue, facing I-95.
Zaslow here, and let me tell you about my new friends at Lou Backrow Coconut Creek Chevrolet. I want you to head over to Lou Backrow Coconut Creek Chevrolet, and when you walk through the showroom doors there, you go see my friend Eric Nunez. Local guy, just like us, loves Miami sports teams, just like us. And at Lou Backrow Coconut Creek Chevrolet, Eric is going to set you up. It's your Silverado headquarters with an award-winning line of cars and trucks. Conveniently located on 441 just south of the Sawgrass Expressway and online at CoconutCreekChevrolet.com. Find new roads.
Hey guys, no matter what anyone says, size does matter to us women. That's right, size does matter. Why? Because every woman wants a guy that can satisfy her in the bedroom. Now, there's no more excuses with Noxetril, the remarkable all-natural pill that the adult film industry refers to as Viagra on steroids. Noxetril is the explosive, groundbreaking male enhancement formula that's science-shattering. It's packed with the highest quality, potent, and effective ingredients that go to work right away to increase blood flow fast. And best of all, no side effects like prescription meds. Call and find out how you can get your free supply today. One little pill, once a day. Your secret weapon that will transform your size and width and your sex life guaranteed.
Call right now and get your free supply. Call 800-489-8194. That's 800-489-8194. It's like Viagra on steroids. Improve your sex life with your free supply. Call 800-489-8194. 800-489-8194.
Say you're shopping online with your smartphone. It sure feels like your personal info is right there in your hand. But when you hit submit,
your personal info gets around. Whenever you bank, shop, or browse online, your private info is no longer in your control, leaving you vulnerable to cyber criminals.
More threats demand more protection. That's why Norton and LifeLock are now part of one company. Norton 360 with LifeLock provides all-in-one membership for your cyber safety that gives you device security, identity theft protection, a VPN for online privacy, and more. No one can prevent all cybercrime and identity theft, but Norton 360 with LifeLock is your ally in today's connected world.
Because your info is out there.
Sign up today for Norton 360 with LifeLock and save 25% or more off your first year by going to norton.com/news. That's norton.com/news for 25% off.
Drop it.
Have you listened to 790 The Ticket on radio.com yet? Download the radio.com app now. Make us your favorite station. Take us with you wherever you go every day.
Man, so many memories. So I think we fixed, because we had a really ugly walk down memory lane earlier thinking about the Fiesta Bowl.
True.
But then I think we fixed it by walking down the summer of 2010 memory lane.
Listen, because I'm smiling now from ear to ear because those were great times, man.
And it was a hell of a good time right there, boy.
It would be different, but the whole reason why we brought up this topic is wondering what it's going to be like, what it would be like, because I don't want to jinx it. Not saying it's going to happen, but what it would be like in the summer of 2021 if Giannis Antetokounmpo decides to take his talents to South Beach. It wouldn't be the same. It wouldn't be as Hollywood, because, listen, Giannis Antetokounmpo looks, he looks like a nice guy, but I don't know if I'm going to, like, go on a three-day, like, bender with him. It doesn't look that crazy. Whereas, you know,
casual fans, that's what you're looking at. LeBron's name rings. Somebody may not watch basketball, but they know who LeBron James is and what he does.
That's true.
He's an international brand.
Right.
Yeah.
Giannis, even though he has a great name, I mean, Giannis could be a one-word name. Like, you could know who that person is, like Bron, like MJ, Kobe, you know. But Giannis is not like that. Nor is you seeing him in a lot of commercials.
He's big in Greece.
That's great.
We have some nice Greece restaurants down
got
here.
Great.
We do.
We mentioned that earlier.
And by the way, I didn't know this, but Kiki on the River is a Greek Mediterranean.
I didn't know that.
Restaurant.
Is it? I did not know that. Okay.
So if Giannis, you want to court him, take him on the yacht, bring him there on a Sunday, let him go get some Greek food.
Man,
Greek
freak, I did not know that.
Oh, yeah.
Ooh.
Okay.
Yeah.
See?
We can seal the deal with that.
Why am I helping you guys out?
That's dangerous right there.
Well, you know what's going to happen, Vlad?
Listen, Sunday's dangerous at Kiki's.
In 2021, the Knicks fans are going to get their hopes up, and then Giannis is coming to Miami. You know that happens every single time, man, every single time. 67974 if you want to get at us on the Kendall Toyota and West Kendall Toyota text line, but please don't text and drive. Hey, you were talking about the Viscayne condos. Texter says, my ex-girl worked at Viscayne, and she did tell me about Wade having that condo there, which apparently was like a condo in name only. Like, he didn't really live there full time, but they wanted him to be in the building.
They said, we just want to use your name. Like, I have my real estate license, and I went to go check it out after he got done with it.
Mm-hmm.
You want to talk about a bachelor pad? It was three stories.
Oh, my God.
The third story was like a sky loft with a hot tub outside.
Oh, my God. What a life.
He had like a little DJ booth set up with to play the music on the third floor.
Jeez.
And it was hot tub outside with the view was all of South Beach. I was like, this is not bad right here, boy, for free.
By the way, we were talking about what sports radio was like the next day after the decision. And a couple texters brought this up, and I remember this like it was yesterday. Lebatard had this big like joke theme on his show the next day, run the point night. Because, you know, talking about how you've got LeBron, Wade, and Bosh on your team, like anyone can run the point. They'll be picking fans like out of the crowd to play point guard. That was the whole running joke was run the point night. That who cares who the point guard is?
Correct.
Yeah, you know, I think it ended up being Mario Chalmers, of course, who's greatest Heat player of all time.
Rio.
If you ask certain Heat fans, Rio.
Oh, if you ask Rio.
If you you're right. If you ask Rio or Alex Solana, that's the greatest Heat player of all time. He loves Rio. But no, the big joke was, and it was hilarious, run the point night. And the other thing that Lebatard did, of course, you know, during the playoff series, when he would do the rants the next day,
mm-hmm.
give it to me again.
That's YouTube. That's YouTube gold. If you get a chance to listen to it.
That stuff,
Rio did
classic.
Have himself some fun in Miami though, because he bought Drake's condo in the Marquee.
Did he?
Yeah, uh-huh. He bought it from Drake.
And Drake was down here a lot.
Well, Drake lived in the building, and he goes, "There's not enough privacy." I'm like, "My man, you bought a condo. What do you expect?"
Downtown Miami.
Downtown.
During the LeBron era. Yeah,
yes.
Come on, man.
And everybody moved
this is in Canada, bro.
And everybody was moving in that building.
Weezy
I'm like, damn, you moved in? Okay, cool. That's what's up.
Weezy was already established. Was already established down here.
Cortez lived in the building.
Cortez was.
Uh-huh. Trina lived in the building.
Trina?
Ross lived in the building.
Jeez. Wow.
Yeah, there was a bunch of people in that building.
Yeah, we had a good time tonight, guys. Thanks again to you, Brian, to Rashad, to Vlad. Gonna have a shortened show tomorrow. Me and Brian will be back on tomorrow night. Vlad, you working tomorrow night?
I am with you guys tomorrow.
How about that? And Rashad's gonna take a little break because he lives so damn far away. Coming down here for a 2-hour show. His drive to the studio is probably longer. So I'm sure we'll hear from Rashad as well later this week. So everyone, have a safe and happy night. We'll talk to you next time. Peace.
The Heat.
Take on the Jazz. Zaslow has the pregame at 8:30 and